This morning we're continuing on in our series of Love One Another. And it's been a while, but you may remember why we're going through this as a way to teach us how to follow Christ's commandments, specifically given to His church. This was given to us as a new commandment, and we studied a little bit about why it's new. You know, the church is new at that time when it was given, and the giver is new. Christ is resurrected. Christ is head of the church. We talked about how it's a distinctive love. It's a love for one another. It's a love specifically given, a command for love specifically for His church, to be followed by His church for the church, for one another. And then we had this lesson on how to do it. Now we're starting to get into the details. Well, how do I do this? If it's clear that it's Christ's command to us as church, for the church, for one another, how do I do this? We talked about how to do it with humility first. You know, putting others first, putting our brethren before our own interests. And then with empathy, actually entering into them with their experience. This love cannot be exercised at arm's length, but must be done by first entering in and with empathy, taking part with our brother, both in joy and in sorrow. And today, we're going to touch on all the one another commandments. Maybe not all of them, but we're going to hit a lot of them. All the one another commandments that are given to us in the New Testament that really I've tried to sum up under the term edification. All the ones that talk to us as His church to deal with one another in a edifying way. Teaching, exhorting, admonishing, comforting, serving. All those commandments, those one another commandments, and there's a lot of them, and I thought it was maybe folly to try to take them all on at once, but we're going to try that today. So let's go to our foundational passage. A new commandment I give to you. This is Christ speaking. And you remember, He had just finished washing their feet. This is the upper room. Just finished washing their feet. Last thing He's going to give them before He goes away. This is all that discourse in the upper room. His last teaching to them. His last sermon to them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you. This is the example that you're supposed to use. This is the pattern, that you also love one another. And then this, he adds this at the end of this phrase, and I think it's very interesting, is that how will we know when this is being done like Christ is doing it? How will we know? Well, actually, we will know, and in fact, it will be so obvious, unbelievers will know. That's how obvious it will be. It doesn't require a theologian to figure out if we are following Christ's command in our own lives among one another. It will be distinctive enough that unbelievers will know that you're my disciples, because you're following the kind of love that is heavenly. It's not earthly. So as we get deeper into these lessons, I was hoping that we could start to get now a little bit more specific, into the weeds of, well, how do we do this? It's a huge commandment, how to love one another like Christ did. What did Christ do for us? Christ died for us. He sacrificed for us. He prays for us. He taught us, He feeds us, He heals us, He provides for us, He forgives us. It just goes on and on. These are all the ways Christ shows love to us. It just seems enormous. Wrapped up in this command for us to love one another as Christ does to us. So I thought it would be helpful if we just start slicing off small pieces of it. And one of these ways is, or a grouping of these ways, is edification. Let's turn to our first passage. 1 Corinthians 8:1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. And these first three verses are just, I really didn't pick them up for any reason other than they have the concept in there, and we're going to get much more deeper into the verses that directly give us deeper understanding of what is this edification. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity or love edifieth. Now, it just is obvious now, even if you don't know what edification or edify means, we know it's in contrast to arrogance or pride or puffing up. Somehow, it's not that. Knowledge used incorrectly in the church doesn't bring edification. Knowledge used correctly brings edification. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. Another concept, you know, as opposed to pride in the prior one. Here's the concept, make for peace. And the things by which one may edify another. And you can see this is the one another commandment. Love one another, edify one another. Bring peace, bring edification to one another. I started thinking, you know, what do we do that edifies one another? It seems like a little bit of an abstract term. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23. All things are lawful for me, Paul speaking about what to do with our own liberty, our own things that are individually or up to us on our own conscience and are not directly given to us in the scriptures in black and white. What are we to do with those things? How are we supposed to decide on those things? And what's the priority? He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. This helps us understand this word helpful. Helpful to who? But the key thing is helpful. All things are lawful for me. The things that are right are right. But not all things edify. They may be right, but they may not be helpful. They may be lawful, but they may not edify. You can quickly see this is not just something that we learn as a theory in the abstract, but it's actually something we encounter, whether we realize it or not. We decide as we interact with one another, are we edifying one another or are we not edifying one another? See, Paul gave us this perfect example. I could do this, it's lawful, but it may not be helpful. So we start thinking about this word edify, and it's not a word we use a lot. In our vernacular, it doesn't really come up. Maybe if you're in architecture, you know the term edifice, big structure. So I started thinking, well, what does this mean? Edify, edifying, edification. It's all throughout our Bible. And even in alternate translations, it gets translated that way. I thought, I looked at a few places, and the most helpful place was the Strong's Concordance. They gave two groups of definitions for this Greek word that's translated edify. And it's in most places, concretely, it's translated to build up. And then metaphorically, it's translated, same Greek word, translated edify. Same word, translated two different ways. To build a house, erect a building, to build up from the foundation upward, to restore in terms of repair. And the example for this type. There are many in Matthew 7:24, and you will be familiar with this. It's at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Christ is talking about the wise man, the foolish man. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Built. It's that word built that's translated built. Built. To build up. Metaphorically, the word is translated for us in terms of encouragement, promoting growth, promoting grace, to grow in wisdom, to grow in piety, to grow in the graces and virtues of the Lord. And that same word translated edify is in a verse we just read, 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love or charity edifies. It builds up. Same word. So you can think of the picture, the word picture in your mind, as edifying is building up. Building up, as opposed to tearing down. Building up. There is some form of growth, progress, upward development. Okay, so that's enough about the word. Let's go right into, what is Christ's intention for edification? Let's turn to this passage. It's a rich passage. We're going to spend a portion of our time here, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and we're going to take it apart. Building up. Who is responsible? Who are we building up? And it should be obvious to you that we are building up the church. We are doing this for one another. And how we'll do it, we'll get into that a little bit later. But who is responsible to do it? Is it only pastors, elders, teachers? Well, yes, absolutely. They're responsible to build up spiritually the church. How about us? Are we really responsible, or is that just optional? Well, this passage I found includes both. We'll read it together, and you look for it. You will find responsibilities, the expectation that both the gifts of elder and teacher are responsible to edify, and us, the body, the building, the part that's joined together for one another. Let's read it. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, this is talking about Christ, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, here's our word, of the body of Christ. And now we're going to get into what is this supposed to do? And there's the positive. Where are we headed? What is the goal of all this edification? Why do it? Here he's going to give us the actual objective outcome, both in the positive, for us to be like Christ, and in the negative, so that we are not unstable, easily swayed by false doctrine, that we're established. Well, again, around the whole analogy of the church as a building, and if it's going to be a stable building, a strong building, what is required? Well, what's required is reinforcement, structural building in the spiritual sense between each one of us. So the purpose, the goal, till we all come to the unity of the faith, number one, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, knowing Christ fully, to a perfect man, or complete, to the measure, how far are we headed? This is how far we're headed, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a perfect, holy, infinite objective. That's what we're striving for in the building up of one another. And then the negative, what we're not supposed to be, what we're trying to avoid by edification. That we should no longer be children or immature, tossed to and fro, easily swayed by everything that sounds interesting and intellectual, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Not all doctrine is right. Winds of doctrine are, by their definition, changeable. By the trickery of men, this is deceit, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, knowing that both men cooperating with the devil will seek to mislead, will seek to deceive, will seek to tear down, will seek to tear down the church. This is part of their objective. Christ is building up. We should be building up. It should be no surprise. The devil's seeking to tear down. This war is really about his kingdom and the establishment of his church. This is a real war and seeking real destruction of a real entity, a building. And now for our responsibility. But speaking the truth in love, and we talked about that earlier, it's not just having knowledge, it's not just having the facts, and this is something we repeat to one another regularly, speaking the truth in a certain way, in love, how does that result? May grow up, or build up, grow up, this is another one of our words, grow up, the language is all woven in, may grow up in all things, into him who is the head, head of the church, head of our church, Christ, from whom the whole body, now the analogy of the body, notice it now, lots of elements, joints, the body, joined and knit together, so it goes together, one part connected to the other, by what every joint supplies. Now this is interesting. Every joint, every piece is responsible to be active in supplying something, doing something, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. The expectation is every part, not just those who are given gifts in the beginning, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but every part is responsible to do its share. Now, this is where I became convinced clearly edification is our responsibility towards one another. Every part is responsible to do its share. For what purpose? Causes growth of the body for the, and here's our word, edifying of itself. What is itself? It's us, the church, in love. So to love one another should be, as part of our outliving of this commandment, should be every part doing its share to edify ourselves. Ourselves being not just us individually, but to edify one another. Edifying the church, the whole body, every joint, supplying to the other. Every part doing its share. Let's turn to the next passage. Just to be clear, who is the one, what is the primary responsibility for us in loving one another? Who is to be edified? 1 Corinthians 14, 3, 4, and 5. And we'll just look at just these two passages. There are many others, but it's so clear that to love one another, true love, Christ-like love, means to put ourselves second. Even in good priorities, spiritual edification and benefits, the priority should be in our own minds and hearts, our brethren. This is hard to do. Hard to do. To think about one another first. Paul writes to the Corinthians and the Romans, and in both cases, he makes it very clear to them. Your brethren first. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. Here's our word, edification. What does that mean? Build up. You speak to build up. And exhortation. Similar action. We're going to see these words in many other places. Exhortation, comfort, teaching, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now Paul, giving direction. What to do with this? Two options. Speak in tongues, edify yourself. Prophesy, edify the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Why? Is it because one is superior than the other in its fact? Does one have a greater, higher standard by which spirituality is achieved for the individual? No. This is the benefit. Except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. That's the difference. That's why it's superior. That's why prophesying is superior. Because it edifies the church as opposed to edifying yourself. That should not come as a surprise to us. Christ loving us was sacrificial. He obviously put himself before us. For us to follow that practice, even in the seeking of practicing edification or building up, we should expect we will have to put each other first. Romans 15, 1 through 7. That first passage Paul gave us in 1 Corinthians was about gifts. How to prioritize or rightly use gifts in the church. This one is about how to use our Christian liberty. Similar topic. Another controversy, a choice that each of us bears. And Paul is telling us what's the right way to bear to make these choices in relation to one another. 15, 1 through 7. It's a little bit of a long passage. We'll work through it. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples or doubts or weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. So his first opening statement on this subject is, the priority are those in our body who have doubts. Doubts about a topic, doubts about a Christian liberty, doubts about an idea that we might see as completely valid for ourselves. And so now we're faced with this question, what do we do with that? Ignore it, just do what we want to do, tell them, well, okay, you'll be fine. I mean, you'll eventually get to where I am. So, I mean, we have time. What should be our response? Let each of us please his neighbor, for his good. That should be our priority. Why? Because it leads to edification. This edification thing just keeps coming up, doesn't it? Leads to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, and he quotes from the Psalms, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. The sins of the people that I died for were assigned to me. This is Christ taking our sins for himself. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort, and these words will come up, patience and comfort, part of edification. Christ edifies us. We are to love like him and edify one another. Grant you to be like-minded towards one another. Be like Christ. Have the same mind that Christ had, when you're living out this command to love one another, have the same mind. He put the edification of us first. Be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the outcome or outworking or goal of edification, that we will be in unity, in one faith, in one church, under one Lord. See, the building up is to not just build up some series of structures, it's the goal to build up one body, one church, singular in its purpose and singular in its message, glorifying God with one mouth. Therefore, now how do we do this? Therefore, go do this. Receive one another. Accept one another. Just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Put the other first. Embrace the other in their doubt, in their weakness. Even if that might not be your particular weakness, forgo your privileges, so that you may do the greater good to the body. So how do we do this? There's a lot of verses here, and I don't want to scare you. We will go through some of them, and we'll hit the highlights. I leave the rest for your benefit, or your edification. Acts 20:32. This is foundational. How do we do it? You know, there's lots of ways to edify one another, and we're going to see a lot of them. But foundationally, we must see that the primary way of edification is through the Word of God. It's not the only way, but it's the primary way given to us. We're given instruction and example by Christ to take care of one another physically and emotionally and spiritually. But the primary way is through the Word of God. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to, and now here's our word, build you up. Build up you. And give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What do we use? What's the primary way? We use God's Word. That means automatically, foundationally, we have to know God's Word. If we're going to do each other good, if we're going to love one another and be able to put one another first, if we're going to be able to exhort one another, admonish one another, comfort one another, teach one another, all these words are going to come up. If we're going to be able to do that and edify one another, it has to be foundational. We have to have God's Word, both in our homes, in our minds, in our conversation. Can't be shy about sharing God's Word to one another. Shouldn't be worried about appearing odd to repeat God's Word when someone has a question or makes a comment among us. It should be completely natural, God's Word. We shouldn't be reticent. We shouldn't let the world influence what we deem as appropriate conversation between us as brethren. The world doesn't know what's good for us. Christ knows what's good for us. The Word is telling us what's good for us. We shouldn't be shy about that if we're going to do good to one another. And see, these are the words in the next couple of verses I want you to look for. The basic word, speak, and of course it's not just speaking your own ideas, you're going to see it, speaking, to love one another, edify one another, the Word. Teach. And you'll see all the examples we have here are not about pastors and elders and apostles teaching, it's about us teaching one another, admonishing. Maybe we start getting a little nervous, exhorting. Comforting, that's in there. We're happy to do that. But if we actually now have to possibly say something that may be unpleasant, It's not easy to do, but we read the passage, speaking the truth in love. How to do it? With the objective to edify, with the objective, the words, not to tear down. So here are some verses to meditate on, and I believe this is really good for us as we seek to serve Christ and love one another. We're going to have to unlearn some things and learn some other things. It's very clear from the scriptures, it's up to us to take the initiative. And I often find in my own self a desire not to take the initiative. It just appears safer. But it's not the following of Christ's command. It's disobedience. We're not loving one another if we decide to stay silent. When we know we have God's word that appropriately applies to our brother. Romans 15:14. A one another commandment. How do we love one another? Paul is telling him, I'm sure you guys are capable of doing it. And this should be an encouragement to us. It doesn't require any sophisticated prerequisite. Look at the prerequisites here. Now, I myself, Paul writing to the Roman Christians, I myself am confident concerning you. I'm confident, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. You have the knowledge, and we know that knowledge puffeth up. So be careful. You have the knowledge. We all that are here, saved by grace, have knowledge. Knowledge from God's word. Able also to admonish one another. It's sufficient enough. The time and the place and the opportunity will appear that you, with your brethren, will have the opportunity, because you have the knowledge, to admonish one another. The question is, will we take it? Do we take it seriously? Do we believe it's actually going to do them good? Do we see us as part of the building up of the body? Or do we see us as not doing our part, according to Ephesians? Not doing our share. See, we're kind of left with a choice. Either we are going to do our share or we're not going to do our share. We are going to love one another or we're not going to love one another. Ephesians 5:19. Lots of ways to do this. Lots of ways to do this. There is no, you'll see in all these verses, there is no one and only way. It all edifies, but lots of ways. Using God's word to do this. Speaking. We actually have to say something. Speaking. Often we say, well, you know, my example is good enough to my brethren. It's not the only thing. Christ didn't only teach by example. Christ didn't come on earth and act out mine. The majority of his ministry to us was through his words. Yes, he healed. He comforted. He was a perfect example. But the majority of his ministry captured for us in the Gospels. Yes? Great miracles? Speaking. Speaking to one another in Psalms and hymns. I found this very interesting. It's in a couple of passages. And spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When we sing, both in this passage and in the next passage, when we sing to the Lord. That is true. We sing to ourselves. That is true. We sing to one another. Ever think about that? We're singing the words. And this section here that we're singing, that verse, I may not need it, but my brother on the other side of the aisle may need it. I need to sing that to them. We're singing that to each other. We're singing to the Lord. We're singing to ourselves. We are singing to one another. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, that's the basis of our edification, the word of Christ inside of us. But it just shouldn't stay inside. In all wisdom, knowledge used appropriately, in all wisdom. Now, what are we supposed to do? Is the pastor supposed to do this? Teaching and admonishing one another. How? This is interesting. In psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, both objects are here. We sing to the Lord. We sing to Him His Word. We sing to one another. We sing to one another at the same time. It's multitasking in the church. Here we are. We're doing both. We're doing both. We are encouraging and admonishing and teaching one another as we sing God's Word. On the negative side, Ephesians 4:29, what are we not supposed to do? Again, it comes down to words. It comes down to words. Whose words? We have God's words. Words of truth, in love, knowledge used aright, wise. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Why not? Well, it's because it's not to edification. There's a lot of reasons why not. But here's one reason in the church context why not. But do this. What is good for necessary, it's a requirement, edification. The building up of the church is necessary, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And I thought this was a beautiful phrase. Think about, what are you about to say? Is it building up? Is it imparting grace? Will it cause your brother to grow in a spiritual discipline, a spiritual grace? Will it help them grow? Will it impart grace to them? By the work of the Holy Spirit, will that be the outcome? If it's not, maybe rethink how to phrase it, or don't say it at all. But if you need to say it, make sure that is the objective and the intent. There are many more verses. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. We're only going to be able to do this if we actually have a relationship with one another. We want a relationship with one another. We desire to follow Christ's command. We actually desire to build one another up. This is not going to happen by accident. We actually have to have it clearly in our minds. That's what Christ's direction to us, when He says to us, "This is my new commandment to you, love one another." We have to think about one another. And that's this word I highlighted here. Consider. We have to think about one another. Let us consider one another. One other commandment that is in the mind. Consider one another. In order to do what? In order to stir up love and good works. Building up graces in the other. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. We often hear this phrase. What's the context? Well, if you're not with each other, you can't do any of this. You're not even thinking about one another if you're not seeing one another. Out of sight, out of mind. Is it really that simple? As is the manner of some. Don't consider, don't want to be here, don't see it as your responsibility to love one another. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In the light of eternity, time is short. We should be teaching, singing, exhorting, comforting, admonishing one another so that we can fulfill Christ's law to love one another. Hopefully you've been instructed, as this was very useful to me, that Christ expects this of us, to take the initiative and interact with one another with His Word to build up one another. And then hopefully you've also been encouraged. You could say, you know, I thought this was something mysterious, magical, that was given to our elders. This is something that Christ has given us the gifts, each one of us, to do and we're able to do in different ways. In fact, we do it today. This should be an encouragement to you. This is exactly what you're doing when you talk to one another, encourage one another. You are praying for one another. When you're speaking to one another, using God's word, you're actually edifying the body and so building up us locally as one church into the likeness of Christ. I hope this has been helpful to you. Let's pray. Lord and Father, we thank you for your word. It is powerful and able to change men's hearts like nothing else can do. Lord, we pray that you would help us to love one another more here, and that as we love one another more, we would speak to one another your word, using it rightly, using it wisely, and using it in love, that, Lord, we may grow your kingdom and fulfill the purpose that you have for us here to grow more and more into likeness of yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.